This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
فما كتب له من صلاتي لعشرها. A person leaves the prayer and he doesn't get out of the prayer except 10% or 20% or 30% or 40% until 50% until the end of the hadith. Just to show you that people are differing in their reward when they do a particular ibadah. Muhammad might fast, Jama' might fast, Ahmed might fast, but they're all different in some of the things and some of the reward they get because of some of the things they do and some of the things that they stay away from. So it's very convenient in the month of Ramadan that we know how the Prophet ﷺ fasted and we can get the best out of the fasting and get the maximum reward. This book, Umdat al-Ahkam, is very, very famous. Why? Because every hadith in there is from Bukhari and Muslim. And by the way, it's only going to be maybe like in half an hour lesson, won't be taking much of your time. Na'am? Every hadith in here is Bukhari and Muslim. This is why this book has become so important to the people, because everything in here is authentic. The first hadith that the Shaykh, may Allah have mercy upon him, he said, and inshallah we'll be taking three hadith every Wednesday and three hadith every Thursday until the end of Ramadan. The first hadith that the Prophet he mentioned, also that the Shaykh he mentioned in the book, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقدموا رمضان بصوم يوم أو يومين إلا رجلا كان يصوم صوما فليصمه. A person should not precede Ramadan by fasting a day or two. For example, now before Ramadan, someone decides to fast 2 days or maybe even 1 day. Except a person that used to do it on a regular basis. Here you find in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ has prohibited a person to fast before the month of Ramadan by a day or two. And before we go into the explanation of the hadith, we all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated a sawm. By the ijma', the agreement of the Muslimin, this sawm has been legislated by Allah. And likewise in the Quran it's mentioned that Allah has legislated the sawm upon you. And likewise in the Sunnah, when the Prophet he mentioned that the deen is based upon five things, it has five pillars. And one of them is the sawm. And back to the matter here, where the Shaykh, he mentioned his first hadith, and some of the ahkam related to it, the sawm is only wajib, compulsory upon a certain type of people, not everyone. And some of the shurud that they mentioned first, that person has to be Muslim. If he is Muslim and he is baligh, this person has hit the age of puberty, and this person is also sane, meaning he's not crazy or anything like this. And the fourth thing is tahir. A person is pure. That leaves off a woman on her menses, the siyam is not upon her to make that act. And another thing, a person who is able, that takes out a person that is not able. For example, now a person might not be able because of severe sickness, يعني, he's not able to make the fast and etc. And another person that is residing in the country and he's not traveling. And we'll speak about the issue even more later on. When we reach this hadith, a traveler, there's some ahkam, some rulings related to him, whether he's allowed to fast or not to fast. So the person is muqim, he's residing, at the same time he's able, he's pure, he's aqil, not a majnoon, a crazy person, na'am, and a person that has hit the age of puberty, a Muslim, it is wajib upon him all to perform the fast. And it's not permissible for him to stop fasting or to leave it off. طيب. What does this mean when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he said, "Illa rajulan kana yasumu sawman falyasumhu." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has, يعني done istithna, taken out some people out of this generality. First, he said a person cannot fast 2 days or 1 day before Ramadan, except the person that used to do it on a regular basis. For example, now you have a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to always fast in Sha'ban. Until Aisha radiallahu anhu, she said, كان يصوم في الشعبان إلا قليل. He used to fast the whole of Sha'ban except some days. Umm Salama, she said, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان يصوم شهرين متتابعين. I never saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fast 2 months in a row except Sha'ban and Ramadan. So he used to follow it up. So if a person was to follow it up like the Prophet done it, that would be fine. There would be no problem regarding it. But a person comes out of nowhere regarding no hukum or anything, he decides to fast 2 days before Ramadan. This is the thing that has been prohibited by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second hadith that the Shaykh he mentioned is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا رأيتموه فصوموا وإذا رأيتموه فأفطروا فإن غم عليكم فاقدروا له. And when you see the present, meaning before Ramadan or in the time of Ramadan, the first day, then it's upon you to make the fast. And when you see the present, meaning at the end of Ramadan, you break your fast. فإن غم عليكم فاقدروا له. And if you're not able to see it, maybe due to cloud, or it's difficult for a person to see, maybe it's raining and etc., then a person needs to estimate 30 days of Ramadan. Normally we get a lot of differences, a lot of khilafat on the 29th of Sha'ban. Is it going to be Ramadan tomorrow, is it not? But as soon as the 30th Sha'ban is finished, then that 30 days starts if you don't see the hilal, if you don't see the crescent at that time. And then some ahkam, some benefits related to this hadith. The origin is that if a person sees the crescent, it's upon him to fast. And we're going to go, inshallah, speak about more regarding some of the things that happens in this era or this time that we're in. We're talking about the origin now. For example, now Muhammad, he goes and sees the hilal. He sees the crescent on the 29th or the 30th of Sha'ban. Naam? What does he do? Does he fast? Does he not fast? And etc. We want to talk more about that. And what the ulama have said regarding this, and what al-Islam says regarding a person seeing the crescent. Does he fast by himself if the rest of the people they refuse, and etc. Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi, which is very well known to us from the ones that collected the hadith, brought the whole agreement of the ulama that if two people see the moon or the crescent, it's upon the people to make the fast. Two people. It needs two people for them to see the crescent moon in order for the people to start fasting. Something called Ijma'. Imam al-Tirmidhi brings the agreement. So if two people now, for example, Muhammad and Jama'ah, they go outside and they see the crescent at that particular time and they tell the Imam, the person that is in charge of the country, yani it's enough for him to believe them and to take the Shahada. This witness of them, as long as the people that are sadiqeen, wathiqeen, people that are truthful, people that are not liars, and etc. So the person now by himself, he sees the hilal, what does he do? Does he fast by himself, or does he not? According to the hadith, and what the ulama they say, even though there's a difference of opinion regarding the issue, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever sees it is upon him to fast. If a person sees it, upon him to fast. But if the rest of the people are not fasting, what does he do? Does he carry on fasting by himself? Or does he go with the jama'ah, the rest of the people? Here there's another hadith where the Prophet he said, As-sawm yawma tasawmun, wal-fitr yawma tuftarun, wal-adha yawma tadahun. The fasting is when the people are fasting. And you break your fast when the people are breaking their fast. And you perform Eid when the rest of the people they have Eid. Even though there's an ikhtilaf regarding the opinion, people like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh Uthaymeen, Shaykh al-Bani, they hold the opinion that a person, he fasts with the majority. Just to preserve the unity of the Muslimin. Look how important that ulama they talked about this issue about unity. So the Muslimin, they stay together, and they fast together, and they perform Eid together, and they break the fast together, all because of the unity, they've used this as a proof. And we showed the importance that the Muslims stay together. That person by himself, some of the ulama they say, he fasts himself. Naam, if he sees it and the rest of the people they don't fast, he fasts by himself, but he keeps it within himself. He doesn't come out causing folder, causing chaos, I saw the moon, you'll have to fast, otherwise your fast is barking and things like that. He goes on a stampede, on a ramp, trying causing the problems within the people. Rather he goes with the jama'ah in order to preserve the unity. Or he fasts himself, he keeps it within himself. People like Shaykh Uthaymeen, they've done tarjih of that. He fasts, at the same time he breaks the fast with the Muslimin. But another important issue that should be related to this is that if a person wakes up now and he realizes that it's Sawm. For example, the whole night he was waiting, he never found an answer. It happens to a lot of people that are in the Badia, like in the village and that. They're not like with the community, maybe they don't have radio, they don't have electricity, they don't have TV to hear the news. They realize in the morning, maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon, today is Ramadan. What does he do? Does he carry on fasting or does he start fasting or does he not fast? Some of the ulama they use as a proof what happened on Yawm al-Ashura regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and some sahabas. He said to them, "Man kana lam yasum, falyasum." Whoever wasn't fasting, then let him fast. وَمَنْ كَانَ قَدْ أَكَلَ فَلْيُتِمْ سِيَامَهُ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. And whoever's eaten, then let this person carry on fasting until the end of the day. 2 o'clock, you've realized the Ramadan. Na'am, what do? Do you say, خلاص, I mean, today I've got a day off, it's holiday for me? No, rather this person, he carries on fasting according to the hadith. And the ulama, they use it as proof regarding this situation. So a person at that time, if it's 2 o'clock, even if it's at 4 o'clock, maybe a few hours before his breaking a fast, he starts fasting at that day, and everything is okay. Hadith number 3, An Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, and we conclude by this inshaAllah ta'ala. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تسحروا فإن في السحور بركة. Do the suhoor, for indeed you find in the suhoor baraka, blessing. And the other hadith, which is from the same category, and Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه and Zayd ibn Thabit قال تسحرنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم قام إلى الصلاة. قال أنس قلت لزيد كم كان بين الآذان والسحور قال قدر 50 آية. He said, Zayd ibn Thabit, that we performed the suhoor with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then we stood up for prayer. So Anas said to Zayd, how long was the period between the suhoor and the prayer? The adhan and the suhoor. He said, 50 ayat. Before we explain what the 50 ayat actually means, we take some of the ahkam related to suhoor. Is it wajib? Is it mustahab recommended? Do I have to wake up and perform the suhoor and etc.? The hukum of suhoor is something that is mustahab, recommended. If a person leaves the office, it doesn't become sinful. But a person should try to wake up and try and obtain the barakah of the suhoor. The reason why it is mustahab, some of you might not understand it, but we'll still explain it. Even though there's a compulsory order from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, تَسَحَّرُوا. Those that know Arabic, this is a command. And it's very well known in Usul that a command, it indicates compulsion, compulsoriness. Unless there's another act of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that takes it down from being compulsory to mustahab. For example, he done something or he ordered something and then he done otherwise. Here in the hadith, the Prophet ordered the people to wake up for suhoor. But there's other hadith where the Prophet done wisal, something called wisal. He carried on and he didn't do the suhoor. He carried on fasting. But this is the thing that brings it down from being wajib to recommended. So this issue is recommended. If a person doesn't wake up, he is not sinful. Rather, he's only missed out on the ujur, the recommended acts, and he doesn't get rewarded for the suhoor, and he doesn't obtain the barakah. Even Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi said, As-suhooru barakah min ghayri ijab, or barakah as-suhoor min ghayri ijab. There's barakah in the suhoor, but it's not wajib. So it's from the chapters that he has mentioned in the sahih. And also this issue about suhoor, a good benefit, is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a khas for the Muslimin. Min khasa'isi al-Islam. People before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed the siyam upon them. Like Allah mentioned, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. We have prescribed siyam upon you and those before you. So siyam is not only for us, it was prescribed upon the people before us. But this suhoor, Allah has made it يعني خاص, specific for us. The Prophet mentioned in the hadith, فَصْلُ مَا بَيْنَ سِيَامِنَا وَصِيَامِ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ أَكْلَةُ السَّحَرِ. The difference between the our siyam, our fasting and the siyam of the people of the book, is that we have suhoor. Some of the ulama, they say, it's from the things that Allah made easy for His ummah. To wake up for suhoor, to earn the barakah from the suhoor. Sometimes you find, يعني the personal experience that I wake up for example, on a normal day, I don't have breakfast, maybe at 6 o'clock I'm about to collapse. Why? Because I haven't eaten anything. And now, mashallah, the Muslimin, they're doing 19 hours. Has a person ever realized, thought about 19 hours without food? This goes back to the barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put within the siyam and waking up for suhoor and etc. So this is something that Allah has made specific for this ummah. Regarding the 50 ayat, na'am, there's many aqwal, many opinions regarding the 50 ayat, what it actually means. Na'am, are the 50 ayat, the ayat that are mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, for example, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha tadayantum bidaynin, which is a whole page long. Na'am, is it the duration of 50 ayat like that? Or is it the duration of 50 ayat like Surah Al-Kawthar, Inna a'tina al-Kawthar, which is from the smallest of the ayat? Na'am, some ulama, they said, that it's the middle between these two ayat, the shortest one and likewise the longest ayat in the Quran. 50 ayat according to that. And some of them they said things like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, according to the hadith that we mentioned earlier. He said we made suhoor with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when we stood up. Na'am, we stood up for the prayer. We showed there was only a small period of time. طيب, when does it actually start? Does it start after the Taraweeh, the Suhoor? Or does it start the third of the day, the night, or the last sixth? There's many opinions regarding this as well, but the outward opinion, which is more closer to the Sawab, is that it starts on the last sixth of the night. If you cut up the night into six parts and calculate it, the last sixth, this is when the Suhoor actually starts, according to the hadith of Anas. He said we performed suhoor, we done the suhoor and then we stood up straight away to the prayer. We showed there was only a small period of time, na'am, between the suhoor and the prayer. It was at the end of the suhoor, or the night. طيب. Another mas'ala, when does it actually end? Recently in Leicester we've been having a lot of differences, and likewise there's been a lot of kalam. When does it actually end? Does it end at 12 o'clock, at 1 o'clock, at 3 o'clock? What Islam says, and likewise the hadith, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَكُلُّ وَشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمْ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. Eat and drink until you see the difference of the night from the morning. For example, you can see white coming inside the night, and etc. This is what the Prophet, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. This is when the time when a person should be doing imsah, stopping himself from eating. I mean, sorry, yesterday as well, when we looked inside the sky at 3 o'clock, that road, I can't remember the exact road, is near Gospel Street. When we looked up, at that time we could see a difference between the time at 1 o'clock and likewise at 3 o'clock. There was it was coming into the Yani the dawn. You could see the difference of the sky coming around that time. And we looked at the sky as well at the same time at 1 o'clock, at 12 o'clock as well. You could see a very big difference between the two times. A few more masail, a few more rulings related to what we are taking now. Maybe three or four inshaAllah ta'ala, then we conclude the lesson. If a person now is doubting, is it fajr, is it not fajr, what does he actually do? Does he carry on eating? Or does he stop eating until he makes sure? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said,
كل ما شككت حتى يتبين لك. الإمام النووي رحمة الله عليه said in مجموع this hadith is صحيح. It was narrated by Bayhaqi. He said keep eating كل ما شككت حتى يتبين لك. Keep eating if you're in doubt until it becomes clear for you. So until it's not clear you can carry on eating. But when it becomes clear for a person that Fajr has absolutely become and it's time for it, and he carries on eating after that, then there's an ijma', an agreement by the ulama, this person has broken his siyam, batula sawmuhu. But as long as the person is in shock and it's not clear for him, he hasn't heard the adhan and things like that, then what Ibn Abbas said, because there was no i'tirad against him, يعني can use it as something to base it upon. كل ما شككت حتى يتبين لك, a person keeps eating even if he's in doubt until it becomes clear for this particular person. طيب, if a person now has food inside his mouth, نعم, if a person has food inside his mouth and the adhan is called, does he spit it out, does he vomit out, does he carry on eating, what does he actually do? There's an agreement by the ulama, people like Ibn Mundir, Na'am, and also Imam al-Nawwi, they've transmitted that if a person has food in his mouth and the adhan has gone, there's an agreement that this person carries on finishing what's inside his mouth. We all know the three proofs from the Quran, the Sunnah, and the agreement of the ulama. Because the Prophet said, لَا تَجْتَنَ أُمَّتِ عَلَى الضَّلَالَةِ, my ummah will never gather upon misguidance. And it's a type of proof that we should consider. If all the ulama, they have agreed before us that this is something as an agreement, we can use it as proof. There's no ikhtilaf regarding this issue that if a person has food in his mouth and the adhan is called, it's upon him to carry on finishing that food. طيب, if you have now something in your hand, for example maybe a burger or a piece of chips or something like that, what do you do? There's a hadith ba'if, a weak narration, na'am, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is ascribed to the Prophet, إِذَا سَمِعَ أَحَدِكُمْ النِّدَاءِ وَالْإِنَاءُ عَلَى يَدِهِ فَلَا يَضَعُ حَتَّى يَقْضِي حَاجَتُهُ. رواه Imam Ahmed, but the hadith is ضعيف. If a person now has something in his hand, for example maybe drink, or even like a burger, or something like that, and he is eating it, then the hadith, this weak hadith, it says that a person can carry on eating it until he puts it down, until he takes from it whatever he needs. But according to some of the ulama, like Sheikh Muqbil rahmatullahi alayhi, mentioned it in his book Al-Mu'alla, that the hadith is ba'im and we can't use it because the hadith is weak. Inshallah ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a blessed Ramadan for all of us, and makes it from the Ramadan that we benefit ourselves and likewise get the best out of it, we get the best reward, we end up getting 100%. Na'am, and we are not from those who fast and get absolutely nothing, like what was mentioned in the hadith, a person might fast, he doesn't get anything out of the fasting except hunger and thirst. We ask Allah to make us from those that get the best out of it, and not from those that are mentioning that hadith. JazakAllah khair for listening.